The Pokémon released in the first few generations are notoriously some of the weakest in the entire franchise.
What?
But which ones have managed to avoid power creep in the official competitive circuit, even now, over 25 years later? Are they legendary Pokémon? Strong attackers like Gengar and Alakazam? Maybe it's bulky behemoths like Snorlax or Chansey? Well, some of the answers may surprise you. First, what is power creep? Well, to put it simply, imagine Mewtwo, who was originally introduced as this ultimate lifeform-esque Pokemon. But what happens when you have to come up with 8 more generations worth of legendary Pokemon? It's inevitable that those future legendary Pokemon will have to be stronger than Mewtwo. Otherwise, fans will see them as weak or disappointing, rather than legendary. But for a game like Pokemon, with a history spanning almost 30 years, with over 1,000 different characters to choose from, newer creatures are bound to surpass older ones in terms of power. In fact, most of the original 151 Pokemon are completely outclassed in competitive play, where they see virtually no usage whatsoever. Game Freak has tried to remedy this by introducing new mechanics each generation, like Mega Evolution and Special Gigantamax forms, but these are only ever temporary buffs. So in this video, I only want to talk about the ones that have managed to stand the test of time without needing an ever-changing gimmick. Let's start with one of the original starter Pokemon, Venusaur. While Blastoise and Charizard have become irrelevant in competitive play without their special Mega Evolutions or Gigantamax forms, Venusaur has still managed to see play without them. It's not a particularly strong Pokemon, but it does have a unique niche on Sun teams. It has a Chlorophyll ability to boost its speed in Sunlight, a base speed stat capable of taking advantage of that speed boost, Sleep Powder to put opponents to sleep before they can move, can do decent enough damage to opponents compared to alternatives like Jump Bluff, and has a Grass Poison typing with solid defenses to give it more survivability against strong Fairy type attackers, as opposed to alternatives like Lilligant that require a Focus Sash to last more than one turn. While it doesn't have any top tournament finishes yet, it at least has a defined niche that sets it apart from other newer Pokemon, even if it's not particularly strong. Speaking of strong, let's talk about an electric rodent who has managed to win the world championships, even when facing off against powerful legendary Pokemon. And no, I'm not talking about Seijin's Pachirisu, I'm talking about Raichu, who Wolf Glick managed to use incredibly well to help him win the 2016 World Championships, in a metagame filled with Pokemon like Mega Rayquaza, Xerneas, and Primal Groudon. So what is it that makes Raichu so strong? Well, to be honest, it actually excels better in formats with those restricted legendary Pokemon that are normally banned from competitive use. The reason lies in Raichu's unique niche. It has extremely mediocre stats, aside from its speed. But its Lightning Rod ability acts as a phenomenal support alongside strong water or flying types, like Kyogre or Gyarados. Raichu can help insulate them from powerful electric type attackers like Regieleki, Zapdos, and even Thunders from opposing Kyogres. On top of that, Raichu has a lot of useful support moves, like Fake Out to neutralize an opponent's threat for an entire turn, and Nuzzle to paralyze fast opponents, enabling its ally to attack them before they can move. Raichu can also output a surprising amount of damage, despite its low attacking stats. Volt Tackle and Thunder can still take a chunk out of Pokemon with low defenses, thanks to those moves' high base power. But the combination of Focus Sash and its old event-exclusive move Endeavor allow Raichu to bring even the bulkiest of Pokemon down to 1 HP for an easy KO. It's a unique support that requires a very specific set of circumstances, both in terms of the Pokemon on its own team, as well as Pokemon commonly used by opponents, but in those circumstances, it can be a really strong support option. Raichu hasn't seen much success in Scarlet and Violet yet, aside from a lone Day 2 qualification at a regional level event in Europe, on a team with 3 water types, Palafin, Pelipper, and Iron Bundle. But as stronger legendaries like Kyogre and Wyvoltal are reintroduced to official competitive tournaments, that's where Raichu shines best. And who knows, perhaps the introduction of Maridon can make something out of Alolan Raichu in the future. While we're on the topic of supports, let's talk about a Pokemon who has managed to beat Power Creep without even fully evolving. Clefairy, who almost became the franchise's mascot instead of Pikachu, is actually a really reliable support Pokemon. It had numerous top cuts at regional and international level events, and even had a handful of victories over the years. The unique combination of redirection in the form of Follow Me, and its ability, Friend Guard, which reduces damage to its ally by 25%, is incredibly powerful. It also takes advantage of the fact that it's not fully evolved thanks to its ability to hold the Eviolite item, which gives it a 50% boost to both its defenses. This makes Clefairy tough to actually knock out in one hit, allowing it to redirect enemy attacks to itself, giving its ally full freedom to either set up with moves that significantly boost their stats, like a Belly Drum Snorlax or a Clangorous Soul Kamuro, or just freely take KOs on opposing Pokemon after they've already used those setup moves. If the opponent has spread moves like Heat Wave or Dazzling Gleam to bypass Follow Me, then Friend Guard can reduce the incoming damage to that ally Pokemon while Clefairy is on the field. It really does have the strongest possible support options. If it's given free time to fire off attacks, Sing can completely incapacitate opposing Pokemon for multiple turns, and Heal Pulse can restore an ally's lost health from the aforementioned Belly Drum or Clangorous Soul. In Scarlet and Violet, the newly introduced Mousehold has seen a lot of usage and success thanks to that same unique combination of Follow Me and Friend Guard. Clefairy has only recently been added into the game with the release of the Teal Mask DLC, but it's already achieved a Day 2 qualification at a regional championship just a few weeks after it was made legal. Another original Pokemon that has had years of success, even to this day, is Arcanine. I've already made a video detailing Arcanine's unique history in the official competitive Pokemon circuit, so make sure you go check that out after this video. But basically, Arcanine's good all-around stats, Intimidate ability, supportive moves like Will-O-Wisp, Snarl, and Helping Hand, alongside powerful offensive moves like Flare Blitz and Extreme Speed, have allowed it to have some of the most dominant years of competitive Pokemon ever. It has been power crept by Landorus Therianform and Incineroar at times in the past, but the release of Hisuian Arcanine has given it a brand new playstyle, where instead of being a supportive Intimidator, it has become an extremely offensive Intimidator with strong stab moves like Flare Blitz and Rock Slide, as well as the strongest priority move in the game, Extreme Speed. Arcanine isn't the only fire type from Gen 1 to defeat Power Creep. Ninetales has also managed to defy Power Creep. While the Cantonian form with Drought does have a niche as a fast sunsetter, its main competition in Torkoal, a slower sunsetter, has actually been the much more common and successful choice. However, it's Ninetales' Alolan form that has really managed to find a lot of success. Like its Cantonian form, Alolan Ninetales also has an ability that automatically sets Weather. Only this one sets Snow, formerly known as Hail. Snow gives it the ability to not only fire off perfectly accurate blizzards, but also set up fast Aurora Veils, giving you both Reflect and Light Screen with a single move. It's one of the best supportive moves in the entire game, which entire teams can be built around. Not only that, but as of Generation 9, Snow now also gives Ice types a 50% defense boost. This allows Ninetales to even survive a 4x super effective Heavy Slam from Iron Hands after it sets an Aurora Veil, which is crazy. Alolan Ninetales' most notable success is from 2017, where it finished second at the World Championships, by essentially sacrificing itself to set up a Light Clay boosted Aurora Veil turn 1, allowing allied bulky Pokemon like Swords Dance Garchomp and Tail Glow Zerkatree to set up and sweep opponents. In Scarlet and Violet, it's only recently been made legal thanks to its appearance in the Teal Mask DLC, but it's already made 2 appearances in the top 8 at regional championships. This next Pokemon is actually the one that inspired me to make this entire video. A completely forgettable and underpowered Pokemon that has long been power crept out of competitive relevance, Sword and Shield somehow managed to turn this low-statted Pokemon into a legitimate threat. I think this is really the perfect example of good game balance, and the kind of creativity needed for Game Freak to try and revitalize some of the other older power crept Pokemon as well. The neutralizing gas ability introduced in Generation 8 is not only thematically a fitting ability for Weezing, but it's both an anti-meta ability that limits the power of some of the newer, more overpowered Pokemon in the game who rely much more on their broken abilities, but also an ability to empower your own Pokemon, turning otherwise useless Pokemon like Regigigas into an absolute powerhouse. While the Galarian form hasn't had any success due to its fairy typing being a net negative to it defensively, the OG Cantonian Weezing has been starting to rack up some smaller successes, with a top 8 at the 2022 International Championship in Germany, as well as 3 different top 8s at the Online Players' Cups 2, 3, and 4, where it even had 1 finals appearance. If you ask competitive players what their most hated Pokemon to face is, I guarantee a majority will name this next Pokemon. Despite not being fully evolved, Chansey is a completely degenerate Pokemon in competitive play. It's an entire win condition all on its own, where players will utilize a Pokemon like Shuckle, who can use the move Guard Split to give Chansey enormous defenses to pair with its already massive HP. Like Clefairy before it, the Eviolite held item also gives it a huge 50% boost to its defenses. On top of all that, these boosts to its defenses from Guard Split and Eviolite are not ignored by critical hits or the move Sacred Sword. Chansey also annoyingly learns the move Minimize, making battles against it a complete headache. Because your moves will hardly do any damage to it, on the rare occasion they even hit it after it stacks a few evasion boosts with Minimize, matches against Chansey will often use the full 20-minute timer. Luckily for competitive players, Shuckle isn't available yet in Scarlet and Violet, but there's no doubt that Chansey has remained competitively relevant, achieving multiple top 8s across various regional and international championships over the years. Continuing with the theme of non-fully evolved Pokemon, I'm gonna lump these next two together, but both Magmar and Electabuzz actually have a useful niche that differentiates them from the competition. They both get access to Follow Me, which, like I mentioned with Clefairy, is one of the strongest support moves in the entire game. Also like Clefairy, Eviolite can make them a lot more tanky, so that they can actually take hits pretty well. But it's their abilities that really make them unique. Static and Flame Body are really nice abilities to punish Urshifu Rapid Strike, and their other ability, Vital Spirit, lets them redirect Amoonga's spores without being put to sleep. Ogerpon is the much more commonly used Pokemon that can do the same thing, but Electabuzz and Magmar are bulkier and have different typings. Ogerpon is, of course, still the generally better option, but we've seen that for some teams, Magmar and Electabuzz can actually be even better options. And we've even already seen Magmar on a team that qualified for Day 2 at a regional championship shortly after being added to Scarlet and Violet. There's even some historic precedence to these two being strong picks in competitive play, as Sajin Park took Magmar to a top 8 finish at the 2013 World Championships. Switching over to a more offensive Pokemon, Gyarados is one of only a few who has managed to remain a legitimate meta threat for the entire 15 years that the official competitive circuit has existed. Gyarados has also been a Pokemon capable of multiple different roles. It's found success as a bulky, supportive option thanks to Intimidate, Taunt, and Thunder Wave, but also as an offensive setup sweeper thanks to Dragon Dance and its high attack stat. Gyarados has a history so vast that it's deserving of an entire video all on its own, but in just Scarlet and Violet, Gyarados has managed dozens of top cuts across every level of event, including 2 regional championship victories. This next Pokemon actually has more use than for just breeding perfect IV Pokemon, but Ditto is actually a serious pick in competitive play. Typically, the Pokemon Company decides to allow players to use the restricted legendaries every 3 years, and this is when Ditto shines. Because these restricted legendaries are so much stronger than normal Pokemon, players can only use 1 or 2 of them on their team. However, with Ditto's hidden ability Imposter, you can essentially give yourself access to 3 restricted legendaries on a single team. What's more is that when Ditto transforms into the opponent's Pokemon, it also copies their stat boost. So sending Ditto in against a Pokemon like Zacian or Geomancy Xerneas has yielded some of its most successful results. Ditto has achieved multiple regional championship victories and even more top cuts over the years, and it'll be interesting to see how it does at some point in 2024 or 2025 when the restricted legendaries inevitably get added back into the official competitive circuit. Up next is my personal favorite Pokemon, Snorlax. I actually have an entire video detailing Snorlax's complete competitive history planned for release a bit after this one, so I don't want to go too in-depth here, but Snorlax has had arguably the most unique history in competitive Pokemon. It has fallen off a bit since the earlier days of VGC, but it still remains the top Belly Drum sweeper, so that niche hasn't been power crept yet, at least. While it hasn't had any success yet in Scarlet and Violet, perhaps the introduction of the aforementioned Clefairy, as well as the new underexplored Sinistra, will yield some top cuts for it. Like Snorlax, Zapdos has also fallen off in Scarlet and Violet. Its best finish is a top 16 placement at the 2023 World Championships, as the combination of Rocky Helmet and Static made it a great answer to Urshifu defensively, while it can threaten KOs back with either Electric or Flying type moves. Zapdos can also restore its health with Roost, removing its only two weaknesses, Rock and Ice, for an entire turn, and it can control the speed of a battle by supporting the rest of its team with Tailwind. Zapdos is still a very solid Pokemon, even though Tornadus is the preferred support of Flying type currently. Zapdos isn't the only legendary bird that deserves to be on this list. Moltres has had a number of impressive showings throughout its history as well. Cantonian Moltres, most notably, finished second at the World Championships back in 2009, but also had a top 4 finish at an international championship as recently as 2018. The newer Galarian Moltres, introduced in Sword and Shield, has also had numerous impressive finishes, including wins at Players' Cup 2 and 4, as well as a regional level event in Italy. Galarian Moltres would also have two placements in the top 16 at the 2022 World Championships. Like Zapdos, it hasn't seen any major success yet since its release into Scarlet and Violet a few months ago, as the metagame currently just isn't very friendly to dark flying types, with two of the most popular Pokemon being strong fairy and electric types. But if Paradox Pokemon don't return in Generation 10 and beyond, Galarian Moltres could easily return to its success that it had as recently as 1 year ago. The last Pokemon I want to mention actually don't belong on this list, but I wanted to bring attention to them as they are three of the highest statted Pokemon of the original 151. Dragonite, who, if you haven't seen my video detailing its complete competitive history, go give that a watch as well, has only become relevant thanks to the new Terastalization mechanic. As soon as we lose the ability to Terastalize in Generation 10, Dragonite will likely go back to being completely irrelevant, as it has been throughout most of its history. Mewtwo, who has become so incredibly power crept by newer legendaries that not only have better typing and stat distributions, but most importantly, far better abilities, is nowhere to be seen in competitive play, even in years where it's allowed. And Mew, who has never once been allowed to be used in the official competitive circuit, and likely never will, wouldn't even be good if it were allowed. Its now mediocre stat distribution of 100 in every stat, pure psychic typing, mediocre ability, as well as its ability to learn every TM no longer being that much of an advantage, hold it back way too much. I would love to see Game Freak address a lot of these old power crept Pokemon the same way they did for Weezing. Give them their own thematic niche that, while maybe not making them top tier or anything, at least gives players a reason to use them.